Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Watchman Show. Today, as we proceed with our study on matters to do with end time and so many other things that we are talking about here. And last week, we started with a bit of a preview of what was happening in West Africa. It still is kind of the same. Although, like a few interesting things that came to my mind. First of all, how much, the country of Niger, because this is important for us as well, because there is something that the West is trying to impose on us. You know, the whole thing, homosexuality and their agenda, LGBTQA, XYZ, and so on. And they are trying to attach it to money. Yet, in actual sense, they actually need the money from Africa more than the other way around. That's the reality. But they are used to a system in which they are completely dominant and nobody there says anything to them. Now, recently what happened when the African countries went to Russia and when, of course, they have been flourishing with China as well, is that it gives African countries a say on which direction to take. Because, of course, a lot of them have natural resources in forms of minerals, oils, and what, but they don't have the capacity to extract these things. So they have to run to countries which have the capacity to extract them. Now, previously, all those countries existed in the West, and the West drives a very hard and even condescending bargain, because they come at you with all this condescension, like they are entitled to eat, there is no humility in them. Then on top of that, they at least attempt to impose their social changes that they want, like homosexuality and what. And actually, they are giving you loans, which we pay back with interest. Yeah. I want this to be clear to everybody out there. The World Bank gives us loans, which we pay back with interest.
Yes.
Even this year, we paid so many trillion shillings to the World Bank in loans and in interest to them of the money which was collected from our taxes.
Yes.
So they are not doing anybody big favors. They're actually giving money with interest. But of course, because the money is needed for things like schools and especially roads, because they are the biggest funders of UNRWA, a lot of conditions come with it and so on. But the question now has to come whether those conditions are worth it. And of course, the answer is no. At some stage, you have to stand our ground, because it doesn't stop here. People have to understand that the devil never stops. When he comes for something very small and you suffer it or you tolerate it, he does not come to stop. He does not come to cause inconveniences. He comes to take over. He comes to grandstand. He comes to take all the space and be in total control.
Yes.
Now, that's how it works. But he will start in a way where, no, you know. You remember how they started? Who cares what people do behind, you know, in their rooms and so on. But as far as I know, there is nobody who has been arrested for homosexuality in Uganda.
Yes.
Unless it involves a minor.
Yes.
In which case, they would also be arrested if it was between two sexes.
Yes.
So they don't want to do something in rooms.
Yes.
That would be bad enough.
Mm.
That's not what they're interested in.
Yes.
They're interested in actually teaching it to schools, teaching young children. Have you seen the books which they have, which children 8 to 9 years are being taught in America about the joys of anal sex and what? These are very wicked people.
Yes.
These are very, very wicked people, straight from the bowels of hell.
Mm.
And now they are going for the young children.
Yeah.
Because, of course, maybe it's too late in some of our lifetimes for us to stomach that stuff. So they are going for young children. So at some stage, we have to actually stand up and say, we don't, whatever it takes.
Mm.
I'm not so sure if our politicians right now would have the gumption to stand up and, you know, tell those people that, you know, we are going to stand by our culture, our morals, and so on.
Mm.
I don't know, because usually when it comes to money, a lot of these politicians of ours find a way of caving in. I hope this time they do not.
Yeah.
But my point is this. What was happening in West Africa, the exploitation is world class.
Mm.
Because I'll tell you, for instance, like Niger is the 7th largest producer of uranium in the world right now. The reserves are reducing a bit. At some stage, it was the 4th largest producer of uranium in the world. And it has, now that has not changed, it has one of the richest uranium, the best quality uranium anywhere. And it has been exploited by France all these years. Now, 75% of France is powered. All their power comes from nuclear, using uranium.
Mm.
And much of that uranium, a lot of it comes from Niger.
Yes.
But they take all the uranium in Niger.
Yes.
At first, they signed a 10-year deal when they discovered the uranium, giving them only 5.5% of the value of the uranium.
Mm.
Just 5.5%. Mm. And now, when the deal was coming to an end, the 10 years, they waited the whole 10 years. When it was coming to an end, then they said, now this is exploitative. At least increase it to 12%.
Mm.
Then, and now this is typical West.
Yes.
The negotiations to increase lasted 2 years.
Yes.
And then they come and say that it will not be commercially viable for us to mine your uranium if we are giving you 12%. I mean, that's a big lie. And they tell those things to African leaders. And
they don't even look into it.
No, they do look into it, but what they do is they make it clear that, because people have died, people have died standing up to the West.
Yes.
So what they do, they make sure they will put, now like what happened in Niger, that Mohamed Bazoum, he had a convoy of like 50 cars in what is ranked as the world's poorest country, of those which are ranked by the World Bank. 187 ranked nations by the World Bank, Niger was number 187th. Okay?
Yes.
But the president has a convoy of, why? Because they are taking all the country's resources, giving him all the luxury he has to be in, and then he sells the country to them. That's what has been happening.
Mm.
So now that's why there have been coups in all these places, and why there is a very growing anti-Western sentiment.
Yes.
First of all, because countries in West Africa, Mali and Burkina Faso specifically, feel there is a bit of something to lean on in the side of the East, China and Russia.
Mm.
But more than that, there is a very strong anti-French sentiment in those places, because France has a very exploitative deal with those countries in which they take in, I told Justin, in some cases as much as 50% of the country's, all the money they collect, and they take it and then they give it back to them as a loan with interest.
Mm.
Yeah. And then it's some kind of payment for them developing the country. Mm. It's a very crazy thing. Anyhow, I am hoping.
Mm.
I haven't even gotten around to praying for it because I'm busy praying for Uganda, but I'm hoping that those countries stand strong.
Yes.
Because the time for the West exploiting Africa has got to come to an end at some stage.
Yes.
It cannot continue forever. They cannot just come and take, it's basically theft,
grand
larceny. Mm. They come and take everything and, leave African countries with absolutely nothing to go on.
Even what is done in Congo, you find that they have poor roads, mostly Eastern Congo.
Mm.
Poor roads, nothing is really going on the economy around there. And in the middle of a forest, there is an airstrip.
Which is being used
So they just fly into the country, come and loot.
And actually, it's in their best interest not to have the roads.
Yes.
Because the more rural
or,
back of the beyond place there it is, where they are getting the resources, the better. But anyway, we just were informing you what is happening in West Africa. That's a story for another day.
Yes.
But now, we'll continue with our study of what we were talking about last time, which has a lot to do with you taking up your end time plan for prosperity.
Yes.
And we told you here before, and I've told you this before, that, and I'm just giving you a short reminder, 3 John verse 2, which says that, brethren, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. I told you that the place of manifestation in your life is your soul. Your spirit is what is supposed to be unleashed. The more you unleash your spirit on your soul and you live a life that is best in the spirit, the more you live a victorious life in every area. Victorious in your finances, victorious in your health, victorious in everything. So it is all about renewing. That's why the scripture says, talks about beseeching you that you, renew your mind, that you may, prove what is the acceptable will of God.
Mm.
So it's all actually in the mind. Now, then I told you that the basis of all your prosperity is going to be what you actually meditate, how much of the word of God is in you, inside of you. Now when I say this, most people think that we are talking about how much of the Bible you know. I know people who know the Bible in and out, and they can put here, but they don't know anything in the Bible. It is all head knowledge. It is knowledge. It's like they know it like they have read a book or or a novel, or they know it like they have studied a textbook. Okay, and now that is the kind of religious knowledge of the Bible that you have, where people do Bible study, then they know stories of what and so on, the way we did when we were children. But now at some stage you have to know that those words are spiritual. They are not academic. They are spiritual words. And the only place that they are going to be of any value is if they are implanted, you know, what James says, receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your souls. Okay? Engrafted. Now, the process of engrafting is your business. You're the one who is supposed to engraft the word of God inside your soul, from where it can actually transform your life. Because it transforms the way you think, the way you look at things. It transforms so many things, but it can only get there when it has been meditated upon to a point where it is the reference point of your life. You can know the Bible, you can know what it says about everything, but as long as it is not the reference point of your life, your knowledge is merely head knowledge. And that is worth nothing. Okay, it might be worth something because, you know, okay, you quote scripture, you know. Yeah, but it is not going to change your life. Absolutely not going to change your life. So the thing is, how much of the scriptures do you actually meditate on? And how much of them do you know? Now, this is the difference. I got saved in 1992 and I started learning the scriptures. By the time, I think by 1995, I had read the entirety of the Bible, you know, a number of times over, because first of all, I used to read a lot of Kenneth Hagin books, and he would say how he has read the New Testament, especially the epistles, from Romans all the way up to, you know, I think Jude is the last one, over and over again. So because I would just listen to him and I admired him a lot, I would also go and do the same. So I read all the epistles. I would, you know, basically you start a scripture, I will finish it for you and so on. But it was all head knowledge. But it was worth something, because when eventually I started getting that knowledge into my spirit, at least I knew what the words say. Now it was a question of getting those words, getting them from my head to my soul. So now then I started getting them to my soul, and now when you get them to your soul, the process sometimes of getting them to your soul, and even the Spirit of God can create a scenario where you actually are required to get those words from your head to your soul. For instance, there is nobody who is born again who doesn't know that the Bible says by his stripes we were healed. But there are so many people who are sick. Why? Because that word is in their head. The minute it gets into them and connects through their soul to their spirit, and what is in their spirit connects with, you know, their whole belief system, they will never be sick again. But, or at least if they got sick, they would know, like they can rebuke the sickness and it goes. So now, that is a clear, there's nobody who doesn't know that the scripture says we are blessed. The blessings of Abraham are ours in Christ Jesus. Now, everybody knows that. The reason it is not manifested in your life is because it is still
lingering in the head.
Now, when you read Philippians chapter 2, I think start from verse 12. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12.
Okay, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Okay, now, I want you to know that he's not talking about the salvation of getting saved, because he's talking to people who are already saved. And if they were not saved, there is no way they can work out their salvation, because that one was worked out by Jesus Christ. We could not save ourselves. But now the salvation he's talking about is the one which you read in James, which talks about receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your souls. Now, the word save, of course, means so many things. It means deliver, it means prosper, it means all those things. The real word, sozo, which is translated as save. Actually, in some of those big translations, it has been as seven words, which are all, you know, captured in that word, sozo. So now, he's talking about work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That means not with casualness. That means not flippantly. Seriously. And then he says, in verse 13, the very next verse, he says,
For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
Okay. Now he says, I'm combining the two verses. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Yes.
That is the salvation of your soul.
Yes.
Which is a continuous process.
Yes.
The salvation of your spirit happened once, the day you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Yes.
Now, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, to will and then to do according to his good pleasure. So now, I want you to get these two things. God works in you.
Yes.
And it is your duty to work out of you.
Yes.
Now, the scripture says the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord.
Yes.
Okay. Now, God works in your spirit.
Yes.
Now, it is your duty to work out of your spirit into your soul and then into manifestation.
Yes.
Actual manifestation. Yes. So God works, or let's say God has worked in you.
Yes.
God has really worked in you in Christ Jesus by giving you his spirit. And you know, remember what Jesus said, whoever believes in me, I shall come and make an abode in him. In other words, I shall reside in him. So that is true for every believer.
Mm.
Now it is up to you to get what is inside there and bring it out in a way that it actually becomes a reality in your manifestation, not just something that you know about in your head. Mm. Now, that is where meditation comes in.
Yes.
Meditation is the means by which, the most common means, there are other means, by which you actually work out your salvation with fear and tremble. We shall talk about the others at some stage, but one of the most important is meditation.
Yes.
That's what takes you a scripture away from your spirit, where it is deposited by God, into your soul, where it becomes a reality in your life.
Yes.
Now, of course, if it was up to the Spirit, all believers would be healed, would be blessed, would be, but that's not the truth.
Yes.
So now, but the problem is, and this is a very big issue, is so many believers are asking God to do things which God has put in their power to do.
Yes, the responsibility.
It is in your hands.
Yes.
So now when you go to prayer mountains and all those places, people are begging God to do things which he has already done.
Yes.
Now it is up to them to receive it.
Mm.
You understand?
Yes.
Now it is like praying that, let's say, God should save people.
Yes.
He already did that.
Yes.
But when you're interceding for people, you pray that people shall receive the salvation of God.
Mm.
Because the salvation is already there.
Present.
The only thing they have to do is go and receive it.
Yes.
Now that is true for every other thing.
Mm.
It is already in existence. God already did it.
Yes.
When you got born again, it's not when Jesus went and died on the cross. He had already provided for your salvation before.
Yes.
You just received it.
Yes.
Now that is true for everything else that is in the life of God.
Yes.
It is all done. It was all done. It was finished by Jesus. Now all you have to do as a believer is to receive.
Yes.
Now the biggest work of a receiver is to receive. How do you receive? Is to put your frequency in a place where it can pick up the signals.
Yes.
For instance, if I have a radio, just because I'm not receiving, let's say, whatever radio, let's say Favor FM.
Yes.
That some people are listening to in northern Uganda.
Yes.
Just because I have not tuned to Favor FM, doesn't mean a Favor FM is not broadcasting.
Yes. Uh-uh.
It is broadcasting and has been broadcasting from yesterday and the last month and the month before.
Yes.
Now it is up to me to turn the knob of my radio until I get to the frequency where I'll receive
from
Favor FM.
Yes.
Now, when I start receiving from Favor FM, that's not when they started broadcasting.
Yes.
They had been broadcasting before.
Yes.
Now, I'm just using this analogy to bring out something here. That so the adjusting we are teaching you to do is how to adjust your soul in a way where now you receive all the frequency of the best that God has for you.
Yes.
It is your soul that is adjustable.
Yes.
You adjust it through meditation on the word of God, through meditation on the written word of God, which is the Logos, but also the Rhema word of God, like what we are giving right now.
Yes.
And then, you know, through pure adjustment, then the blessings which have been in there all along start applying to your life, just like Favor FM was always broadcasting, even if you were not hearing it.
Yes.
It's only when you tuned. So I'm repeating myself from what was said last week, but because it's very important, And it's extremely important for us to understand that until you completely get in this knowledge,
yes,
of how it is your responsibility,
yeah,
you remain a baby,
yes,
all your life.
Mm.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, a baby is somebody who will cry for milk when there is milk in the fridge.
Yeah.
But if you get to teenage and you're still crying for milk, your parents will,
yes,
tell you shut up.
Yes.
And they will just look at you and say, they will ignore you.
Yes.
Because they know that if you wanted the milk, you know where it is.
Yes, you just go and...
you just go and receive it.
Yes.
So God, at the beginning, will tolerate so many things because you're a baby.
Yes.
And babies will cry and cry and everything. You know, you go and pray, even you pray very selfish prayer, very, you know, childish prayers.
Yes.
And they will be answered because you're a baby.
Yes.
But now when he expects you to have grown and have known that all the provision for everything is there, and then you're still crying, you will cry all your life. And he's going to, of course, feel sad for you because he loves you.
Yes.
But then he's like, he expects you to know what to do.
Yeah.
But now the thing is, some believers have deliberately refused to grow up and they prefer to remain babies.
Yes.
And now the definition of a baby is somebody who puts in God's docket things which belong in their docket.
Yes.
People who expect God to do something which he expects them to do themselves.
Yes.
And that is to tune the what?
The receiver.
The receiver.
The soul.
Which is the soul.
Yes.
So that you can receive from him.
Yes. I want to read a scripture here in 1 Corinthians 13, 11, which says, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things."
Amen.
Which is exactly what you're talking about. Because what...
you go ahead and read. There's something in that scripture, which the continuation of that, which is also powerful.
Okay, verse 12 says, "For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as also am known."
Okay. Now, that's what I wanted. You see, you put away childish things. Now, what shows you put away childish things? When you know yourself,
yes,
just as God knows you. So when God is looking at you, he's seeing somebody who is blessed beyond measure, who has everything that he needs.
Yes.
That's what he's seeing.
Mm.
The question is, are you seeing that?
Yes.
If you're not seeing it, then it's because you're a child.
Child, yes.
Okay? For him, he's seeing, you know, the scripture says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." So the fact that you're healed is not an argument in heaven. It was settled a long time ago. The fact that you're blessed is not... there is no argument in heaven as concerning your blessing.
Yes.
The argument is happening in your soul. Now it is up to you to convince your soul that you are blessed and you're healed.
Yes.
Then you will see the manifestation of it. There is no argument as to whether, you know, a Kena or Kableta are healed or blessed. No argument in heaven. It was settled. Now, the argument is in the soul.
Yes.
So now, the more you meditate, is the more you convince your soul about the truth of the word of God.
Yes.
And that truth eventually starts supplanting the vanity of the actual world.
Yes.
The vanity of the actual world can sometimes look like truth because it is your experience.
Yes.
It is what you experience. It is what is before you.
Yes.
It's what's in front of your eyes. But that doesn't make it true.
No.
The only truth is the word of God. Now, when you start focusing on the word of God, it slowly starts supplanting the vanity of what you would call the three-dimensional reality, which is not four-dimensional reality. Now, four-dimensional reality is spiritual reality, which is the real reality. This one is fleeting.
Yeah.
Now, as long as you know that, every minute you spend feeding your soul on a good word, of God, feeding your soul on songs of victory.
Yes.
Eh? You know, so sometimes you know, believers can sing songs which, and they get emotional about them.
Yes.
You know, and
they're suffering.
Okay, some of the, like even those, but even others.
Yes.
Now they would go and sing that. That if the Spirit of God failed, there would be a difference. The Spirit of God failed on Pentecost, my God. He's in you.
Yes.
Now, what other falling do you want?
Yes.
The Bible says the Spirit and the bride say come. The Spirit is here on earth.
Yes.
he's not going back. He's also waiting for the coming of the bride.
Yes.
He's busy preparing the bride for the coming of the bridegroom.
Yes.
That's why it says in Revelation 22, I think 17, eh?
Yes.
That the spirit and the bride say, come. The spirit is here. Now, you go and get emotional if the spirit of God came here. Eh? Like, you know, there would be a difference. No. And now those are songs which are bathed in unbelief, like which should not be sung by people who are, those are religious songs.
Yes.
If you really, really want to believe what the Bible says,
yes,
stop singing things like that, because they make God say, what, didn't you hear what happened on Pentecost?
Yes.
Do you think the Holy Spirit went back? He came and came.
Yes.
He's only going to go back with the judge.
Yes.
That's what it says in Thessalonians, when he is taken out of the way.
Yes.
That is the spirit of God taken away on the rapture when the church is taken out. As long as the church is here, the spirit has to be here.
Yes.
He's not going anywhere. Mm. Now, you have to know that for a fact.
Mm.
Okay? Mm. When you start singing religious songs, you know, Moyowa Mukama, Namaraka, if he comes down here, man, you guys are going to see. Now I look at you and say, man, like, do you want another Pentecost? are we going to have another Pentecost?
No.
Anyway, now that's childishness.
Yes.
Eh? And actually, there's another name for childishness. Mm. It's called religion.
Yes.
Religion is that where you're busy asking God to do things which he already did.
Yes.
Now, actual maturity is knowing that the things are already done.
Yes.
You have to tune your receiver to receive them.
Mm.
God did everything that he's ever going to do for man already, except the salvation of our bodies.
Yes.
That's the only thing pending.
Mm.
The salvation of our bodies, I mean, when at the rapture, when we get glorified bodies, which don't grow old, don't have the ability to grow sick, which don't even fall in love, or in lust, whatever. That's the only thing pending.
Yes.
Everything else taken care of.
Yes.
The understanding of that equals moving from childishness to maturity. Now, when you start asking from a position of, I know God has already done this.
Yes.
Why is it not happening in my life?
Yes.
Then now, you start learning from God.
Yes.
Because he says, I've been waiting all along for you to ask me that.
Yes.
God, what am I doing wrong? How come your word says I'm blessed? How come I'm not seeing these blessings?
Yes.
Because I can't be blessed and I'm in debt.
Yes.
I can't be blessed and I'm suffering. Then he's there. You might start getting answers.
Yes.
Then he'll tell you the reason you are not is because of ABC. I've already told you one reason, which is important. He might tell you others, specifics. Yes.
Now, there's something which I want to bring out in a pictorial form.
Mm.
Now, let's imagine that there is this big pipe which gives us, for instance, let's say national water, big pipe, and that pipe is bringing water. And then you as a child of God, you have a home. And in your home, you want to now bring the water to your home. Now, what you need to do is you need to connect to that mainline pipe. Now, the connector is actually that pipe which you bring to your home. Now, your home is, it can be, you want water in your kitchen, wherever. Now, what you need to do is that connection to the mainline. And let's imagine that the mainline is our spirit. And that pipe which connects the main line to your home is the soul. And then our home is now the body. So if you want to now shift the and bring the water which is in the main line, you have to now bring in the connection. So, and you, that alone you've spoken and said that's the soul. That's where everything works out. So you can be in your home or in your body or wherever place where you are in, and there is no supply of water or that, and you are suffering and you're crying and you say the government doesn't like us or whatever is happening.
There's no water.
There's no water.
And yet your neighbors are actually swimming in it.
Yes. So the only thing you have to challenge yourself to do is to connect the water through that receiver, which is our soul.
Okay. Now, and I have to tell you that a spiritual believer is somebody whose soul is connected to their spirit.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, there is on the one hand, there is the body.
Yes.
On the other hand, there is the spirit. Now, in the middle, there is a soul.
Now,
a carnal believer is somebody whose soul is connected to the body.
Yes.
So, when the body says, I'm hungry, the body is the connector to the world.
Yes.
The world, you know, the world, you know, yes. ministers to you through yes. your body. Mm. So now when you're broke, it is your body which, you yes. know, kind of feels that. Now, if your soul agrees with that,
yes.
that I'm broke because that's what is the reality yes. in your wallet mm. or maybe in your bank account, mm. then you're carnal.
Yes.
But now when you start getting spiritual, you say that what matters is not what my wallet says. Mm. What matters is what the word of God says. Now, the minute you start confessing the word of God, your yes. spirit comes alive.
Yes.
Okay? Because it agrees mm. and it understands that language. Mm. Remember what Jesus said, John 6, 6:33. Yes. The words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. Words are spirit.
Yes.
Okay. Now, his words are spirit. Mm. And that, those words are deposited inside mm. every believer. Now, the minute you start confessing them, mm. in spite of your situation,
yes.
and you speak what the word of God says,
yes.
immediately, your soul starts agreeing with your spirit. Immediately, your spirit is happy.
Yes.
And now, you realize your spirit is coming alive.
Yes.
And now, the connection is happening.
Yes.
Because all the wealth is deposited in your spirit. All yes. you needed to do is for your soul to agree.
Yes.
And then it connects. And then eventually, it will get to your wallet.
Yes.
But through that line.
Yes.
It doesn't come from this side to the spirit. No, it comes from the spirit out.
Yes.
That's how it is.
Yes.
So anyhow, I told you when you mature, you start asking questions which are answerable by God.
Yes.
And that's what happened with me. So I remember, and I wanted to tell you this story. I remember that some time ago, I was having all sorts of issues, financial issues. I've told you this, where nothing is working out financially. I seem to be in a pit financially, in debt here, you know, in trouble here. Rent is a problem. School fees is a problem. I mean, you seem to be moving from one challenge to another without any respite. But then I knew these words,
yes.
and I was meditating. So one day I asked the Lord, because what happened is I read the word and I did the word. I wasn't just a hearer of the word.
Yes.
So I knew what the scripture says. I knew it says, give and it will be given unto you.
Yes.
Pressed down, shaken to the running over.
Yes.
Shall men give into your bosom.
Yes.
I know that. Luke 6:38. I knew what it says. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. I knew all those words.
Mm.
And I was even confessing them.
Mm.
I was confessing the scripture I spoke about the other time, of God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you always having all sufficiency may have an abundance for every good work.
Yeah.
But now, you cannot have an abundance for every good work and be in debt.
No.
An abundance means when you finished building your house, there is something left over.
Yeah.
When you finish buying the meal you need, there is something left. That's an abundance for every good work. I said, now, God, okay, I'm confessing these things and they sound good, but I'm doing everything I know to do.
Mm.
Why is it not working?
Mm.
How come I am not seeing the reward of the things which I'm seeing in your word? And I'm doing them the way I'm reading them in your word.
Yes.
Why are they not working? Then I started praying that.
Yes.
Now, if you just do things and don't expect them to work, you actually are religious.
Really, yes.
Because there is no person who goes and plants a maize seed in the ground and says, if it sprouts, let it sprout. If it doesn't sprout, it's okay. No, you expect it to sprout.
Yes.
That's why you sowed it.
Yes.
And you have expectation that it will sprout. Now, when it doesn't sprout, you have to ask yourself why. Maybe the ground is barren. Maybe there's something which happened.
Yes.
Whatever reason, you have to find out, why did I put my maize in the ground and it did come out.
Mm.
So now this is what I did. This is what so many people will not do. They would just prefer to continue doing it religiously. That's what they call religiously.
Mm.
Religiously means you do it without thought.
Yes.
Eh? Mm. Without any, you know, it's just something you've chosen to do every time.
Mm.
Without even thinking about why you do it or the consequences of not doing it.
Yes.
And so on. So anyhow, what happened is I started asking God, why am I sowing and not reaping? Why am I giving, paying my tithe, giving offerings, giving to so many good causes and not seeing the reward thereof? And then I prayed about it for some time. And you know, sometimes when you ask questions, the answers can be drawn out.
Yes.
And usually they are drawn out.
Yes.
And they come in, sometimes they come in bits.
Yes.
So eventually, I'm going to teach you what the Lord told me, because there are so many people who gave up even on sowing.
Mm.
They tried, they saw they were only losing money.
Mm.
Well, I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Because you realize that there is no dividend.
Yes.
If you sow a sack, you get a debe.
Mm.
If you sow a debe, you get a cup.
Yes.
And like you say, what is happening? Why am I not seeing, you know,
the
all the things that were promised? Anyhow, So I asked the Lord, and the Lord started giving me answers, which are drawn out. And some of you might have had a bit of this. Even if you have, you listen, because you know, there is no harm in you being reminded.
Yes.
So these are some of the answers he started giving me. And it's all in Mark chapter 4. Remember what we were studying for Mark chapter 4 before?
Yes.
But we started from, I think, verse 14, which says the kingdom of God is like somebody would sow a seed.
Yes.
Okay? 26 is where he said, and so the kingdom of God is the man should cast a seed. That's what we're reading. Okay?
Yes.
26, 27, 28, and 29.
Yes.
From the last time. And we've studied that. But now we are going to go all the way and start from the beginning of the parable.
Mm.
And, you know, now you're going to read. And we, I want you to, this is a parable which everybody knows, eh? But I want you to pay attention, because this is going to be of benefit to you. Okay, start.
From verse 1.
Verse 1.
And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into the boat, into a boat, and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, He who has ears to hear, let him hear.
Okay, now I want you to consider this. Everybody who has any familiarity with the scriptures knows this parable. It says, a sower went out to sow.
Mm.
Okay? How many sowers went out to sow?
A sower, one.
A sower.
Yes.
Went out to sow. So there is one sower.
Yes.
Okay. And it says, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the seaside.
Yes.
That's one outcome.
Yes.
Okay? One outcome fell by the seaside, and the falls of the air came and devoured it.
Yes.
The second outcome is some fell on stony ground, and it sprouted very quickly because it had no root, but was scorched by the sun.
Yes.
And it also yielded no fruit.
Mm.
Then the third one fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit.
Mm.
The fourth one yielded 30-fold. The fifth one yielded 60-fold. The sixth one yielded 100-fold.
Mm.
Now, I want you to know that the same sower went and sowed the same seed. Three outcomes involved no fruit from the seed.
Mm.
Three outcomes involved fruit.
Yes.
So half of the outcomes had zero fruit.
Yes.
The other half had some fruit.
Yes.
But even the other half had varying fruit.
Yes.
30, 60, 100.
100.
Even the ones which had no fruit, some died immediately.
Yes.
As soon as they fell, birds came and took the seed.
Yes.
So the seed did not even have time to sprout.
No.
Mm. Others, okay, at least they sprouted a bit,
yes,
but the sun came and scorched them.
Yes.
Others even grew, but because they were among thorns, the thorns choked them.
Mm.
So all the first three produced zero harvest.
Yes.
But the degree of withering is different.
Yes.
Then, of course, also the other ones. Now, think about this. This is what the Lord showed me that time.
Mm.
He showed me that, do you notice that it is the sower sows seeds? There are six different outcomes. The only thing that changes is the soil. The only thing that changes, which determines the outcome, is the soil, where it is sowed.
Mm.
That is the only difference.
Yes.
Same seed, same sower, perhaps same day of sowing.
Mm.
The only difference is
the soil,
and that made all the difference in the outcome.
Mm.
Then he started administering to me some of the things, that some of the reasons why I was sowing and not receiving, and he started teaching me about soil, about good and bad soil.
Yes.
what is good soil, what is bad soil.
Yes.
What is bad, coming and taking away? What is the thorns? What is the stony ground? How come some people, even among good ground, so get 30-fold, some 60-fold, others 100-fold?
Mm.
And this was revolutionary stuff for me because it changed my financial life. Mm. Now, I'm not telling you fables.
Yes.
I am not teaching something that I learned somewhere.
Mm.
I'm teaching something which God himself taught me.
Mm.
And which when I applied, it changed my financial life.
Yes.
So now, you best listen to me. Because yes. It absolutely changed my financial life.
Yes.
This which I'm teaching you. And it will change yours if actually you are, humble enough to receive with meekness,
yes.
With humility, the engrafted word of God,
yes.
Which is able to save your souls. Anyhow, so now here is what it says. I'll start with giving one outcome. Of course, this is something we are going to have to complete next week. But I'll start with giving one outcome. The first outcome, it says, it came to pass, as he sowed by the wayside, the fowls of the air or the birds of the air came and devoured it.
Mm.
Now we are talking about sowing an actual seed.
Yes.
Like money.
Money. Yes.
Yes. Now, the birds of the air come and devour it.
Mm.
So I asked myself, what is the bird? When I was reading this, the first thing that came to mind, and of course this is by inspiration of God,
yes.
The first thing that came to mind was from Genesis chapter 40.
Mm.
Now, in Genesis chapter 40, remember when Joseph was in prison?
Yes.
And the two servants of Pharaoh were in prison with him after Pharaoh was angry with them. And then they had dreams.
Yes.
And they came to Joseph for interpretation.
Mm.
And then Joseph gave them interpretation. Now, this is the first thing that came to mind. Now, of course, one of the people was the butler, had a dream. Then Joseph gave the interpretation. Now, the one I'm interested in is the baker.
Yes.
Start from verse 16. What does it say?
It says, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods, of goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head.
Okay. So now, the dream says the man is carrying a basket.
Yes.
And birds came and ate the bread out of the basket.
Yes.
Now, Joseph's interpretation was interesting.
Mm.
Verse 18.
Verse 18 says, so Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you.
Okay, now, when this came to mind, I realized that what John Mark chapter 4 means when he says the birds of the air came and was an implication of death.
Yes.
When I connected it with what Joseph's interpretation,
yes.
Of birds eating. So now, interpretation of death.
Mm.
Now, this is financial death.
Mm.
There are places where you sow and you get financial death instantly. I know such places. I have sown in such places. Mm. I have seen the outcome of such places.
Mm.
Where you go and puts money in somebody's some place,
yes.
And even the little you have vanishes.
Yes.
It has happened to me, like until this came, I used to wonder, because people come and talk, even these people, some of these foreign ministers and
yes.
So on, whom you see on TV. I remember one time they were, and by that time I was beginning to even like maybe get a bit financially better off after learning all this.
Yes.
So some guy comes and speaks on TV, and they are so powerful and what, said for a seed of this man, one time seed of what, you can do this. So I got carried away, and I went and sowed the seed.
Mm.
Instantly, even the little man I had vanished. And I was beginning to pull myself out of,
yes.
Out of the poverty.
Yes.
But now you sow in a certain place and now you go right back.
Mm.
Death, financial death, the birds come and eat.
Mm.
And now when the birds come, they even eat. They don't just eat your seed.
Yes.
They even eat what you had already done before.
Yes.
What you had already gathered before.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, I remember there is a time when I was somewhere.
Mm.
So this person comes to me and say, please help me. Give me something, I don't have where to go, and something like that. So, of course, I had some money with me, and I gave the person. It took me 2 weeks when I was broke broke, like nothing. I had no money. Like, actually, when I was praying, that's when the Lord actually told me, you remember, this was the turning point.
When you gave that guy.
Yes.
I know what, there are people whom I have, and it happened to me so many times before I learned that usually I use my spirit. Because some people, now there was a gentleman who used to be, like I used to know him way back, he was a preacher and so on. But I've never seen anybody more rebellious and somebody with a harder heart.
Mm.
You know, people who have a heart, who cannot be moved by any word.
Mm.
There's nothing you teach that is going to move him. Mm. His heart is hardened, but actually he's a minister.
Yes.
So you would come and tell me, I left home, you know, there was no food, and I knew he had, some kids. He had, a baby, a young, beautiful baby girl and what. So whom I knew. So you'd come and tell me, you know, the story, you know, man, I left home when there's even no milk and what. And so when my mind would go and I figure that young girl, and I say, so, like, she doesn't have, food and what. You know, so my compassion.
Sympathy, yes.
And I give him. Then I would give him. But then every time I would give him money, it is followed by brokenness. Every time I would give him money, it is followed by brokenness. I'm telling you, there is somebody whom I gave money, and I had to fast 3 days to recover, to get back to where I was. Death. And then when I was on the third day of fasting, I remember I was somewhere. I'd been praying, and I'm talking about 3 straight days and night. Now, actually, on the third day, in the afternoon, I was, of course, weak. And, so I went and sat in the car, and I was praying in tongues. Then I just, dozed off. And in a very brief split second, because I was praying about my financial situation, like everything had turned upside down. And I was asking, Lord, what's the cause of this? And in that moment when I closed my eyes and briefly slept, in a very brief split second, that picture came back of when I was giving that person the money. Like the whole thing just replayed when I was giving the money. Yeah. Then I knew, okay, this is where it started. And then when I, then he even told me to get a similar amount of money and go and give it somewhere else. And then I recovered. And instantly, my finances recovered. Money is spiritual. When you start understanding that money is spiritual,
yes,
and not what you are being taught,
yes,
then you will know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Immediately I went, I sorted that. Now I had first to know what was the cause of this.
Yes,
where did it start?
Source.
So now that split second thing of when I was showed, when I was half asleep in my car, then suddenly I saw myself giving that person the money. Now, this has happened a number of times. Now, this gentleman, I would give him money when he tells me he has no food for his children at home. And he was a friend of mine. But suddenly, something would happen. Every time it would happen. Suddenly, money gets cut off. Everything you are doing which had money gets cut off and so on. Now, that's a clear example of somebody with buds.
Yes.
Now, that's what he means.
Ground,
that,
the soil.
Stony ground.
And it came to pass. As he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it.
Now that one is completely off.
Yes.
Now that is somebody who has a deep financial death running in them.
Yes.
That you give them money, it is going to hit you.
Yes.
And he's going to hit you bad.
Mm.
And I have experienced that. And so many people whom I'm talking to right here,
yes,
there are people who can come and cry to me, this, that, and so on. And then you look at them and you sense. Now, of course, this use discernment.
Yes.
And you sense and say, this one, if I dare give him any money, it is going to cause me serious trouble. So I would just say, my brother, I'm not in position to give you money. I don't say I don't have, because that would be a lie.
Yes.
I just say I'm not in position. Now that can mean anything.
Yes.
So I just say I'm not in position. Because when people have chosen to actually harden their hearts like this gentleman had a hard heart. One day I gave him, it's almost miraculous how these things happen. One day I gave him money. He came and told me, He was really, really in a bad place.
Yes.
Now, some people want to think that you can solve spiritual things using sympathy.
Mm.
And I was one such person.
Yeah.
Because he came and told me, now, by that time, my financial situation had improved greatly.
Mm.
So he tells me that he's sleeping somewhere, and if he basically had nowhere to sleep.
Mm.
And he told me he can get a place to sleep for a certain small amount of money, so that at least he has a place to sleep. Now, when I considered the amount of money he was talking about, I realized this is the amount of money I can easily spend on, you know, on an outing, just to go out with friends, and you know, that's going to be the bill, you know, for dinner and what, coffee and all that. So I thought to myself, I said, no, but honestly, is it fair for me to be just spending this money when this brother of mine is suffering like this, and this money can actually at least give him a place to sleep? So I decided, okay, I'm going to give him the money. So one day I went and told him, okay, I didn't give him the money at once. I gave him a bit, small bit, at the start, and I told him, you come back tomorrow, I'll give you the rest. The day I gave him the money, that day they vandalized my car. They came and took the side mirrors and all that inside an estate where they had never, it had never happened before. I'd been staying in that estate for like 8 years, and nobody had ever complained that a car. There were even children playing outside there. It was a miracle. Now, and I know. So when I said, what? How can this happen? So I said, how can they come and vandalize my car for me? Then when I looked back, I realized, hey, it is this guy. So the next day when he called me, I told him, that's the money I gave you, that's all I'm going to give you. Don't ever expect any coin from me again. It is not my responsibility to go and make people's hearts tender towards God. If you choose to harden your heart, you're not going to bring me down with you. Now, if I'd continued giving him money, he was going to bring me down with him. And I'm not going to let anybody do that. Now, that one is real buds at the wayside, spiritual death. That represents spiritual death.
And remember, whenever you're giving, you're receiving.
Talk about that.
Whenever you're giving a seed, you're receiving something. Either you're receiving life, which is in form of maybe financial increase, abundance, or what these grounds are speaking about, death. Now, like this case, on a wayside, you're receiving death. So anytime you're sowing anywhere, giving a seed anywhere, or money anywhere, you're receiving something.
Okay. Because so there is no seed which is idle.
No.
And people think you just lose the money you sowed.
No. It's a principle like that scripture you gave us in Luke 6:38. Give and shall be given back to you. It's a principle. So whenever you're giving, you're receiving. Either a good measure pressed down of good,
Good life, something good,
or a good measure pressed down of something. Of what the scripture, like for this case, on a wayside, you're receiving death.
And I know people, I can give examples of people whom I know, who suffered financial death because of the wrong ground. And I know a man who was my friend, who had two, who, that man's story just blows me apart up to now. Up to now, the man has never recovered. But this is somebody who was very poor. But he understood the principles of sowing. And he had a good place where he used to sow. And he came out of poverty in the village. And came, and he had the last, when I met him, the man had two prados. He was a man of God, and he was doing well, and so on. Then he went and landed on what I call death in terms of ground. And he gave abundantly, because he had seen what giving had. And now the problem with this thing is it actually kills people who are givers.
That's the thing.
Because now you come with all your enthusiasm to give, and then you find death. And then you just give there. The next thing, the day the man went and gave, because he found when they were collecting, the pastor was collecting money for a car. The pastor whom he knew, and this is a famous pastor. We need money for a car, you know, the pastor, you know, look at the car, the pastor is driving, it is very old, we need money for a car. Now, that can be a noble thing, or an, if depending on whom you're, whatever, and his heart, the heart of the pastor we are talking about. Now, in this case, the pastor is renowned to be one of the meanest people, and I know him personally. He's known to be one of the meanest, meanest people. Like, you know, somebody who would not give, like, mean, mean to the core. So they come and they are, so this man comes and says, he, this powerful man of God, because the man preaches well and, you know, his word is good and so on. But when it comes to giving, sowing and giving, for him, his area is to receive. He does not sow. For him, he's supposed to only harvest. And you know, there are so many men of God who are like that, who think their work is only to receive, not to give.
No.
Man, if you give such a man of God, you are going to become poor. all of us, you see, I receive, but I give.
Yes.
I practice the things that I talk about. I don't. It's not just something. The principle is not made for one person to receive while others do all the giving. No, that is not how it was intended. Anyhow, so this man finds this gentleman who is a very renowned, stingy Mukodo.
Yes.
Gives him. So he went and gave a pledge that I'm going to give. If I remember well, he said 5 million. I'll give 5. I don't know. It might even have been a bit more than that. Because he was okay to the buying of the car. How much is the car? He said this amount. Okay. I think he even said 10 million. The day he went and took the 10 million, on that day he lost both cars. Both of them.
Instantly.
Birds came and devoured it. Instantly. Like it was. When he told me, I was looking. And now when God brings such people to you when he's teaching you a lesson. Now, when I was learning this, this man comes out of nowhere and starts telling me, can you imagine I came here, when I came here to Kampala, I was okay, but now things seem to be going bad. So I started asking him, what happened, you know, so then I said, now, here is the principle God is trying to teach me.
Yes.
This man sowed into death, and the birds came and devoured.
Yes.
He did not only lose the 10 million he gave, if I remember well, if that's what he gave, he lost also what he had already had. Now, that's what this thing does. And the man, up to now I see him. The next thing he moved from Prados, the next thing I saw him over, he was in a very old looking Wachikumi or something, like a very old car. And he was, trying to pretend things were okay. But then I looked at him and I knew something is not right. Because this is not the person I knew before. The next thing, I don't even think the man has a car now. Actually, no, I think he doesn't have a car. The last time I saw him, he did not even have a car. And a car is even the least of his worries. He has fallen down. Unfortunately, some of these people, you try to tell them. Now, that's the problem I have with preachers sometimes. And I pray that I never be like that. Preachers can be very, very difficult to teach. Very difficult. When somebody takes on the mantle of a teacher, try advising a pastor. They know everything. Even when the experience shows that they don't know.
Yes.
When you try to tell them something. Now, if somebody who has a better experience than me comes and wants to tell me something, I will sit and listen. That's what it means, receive with meekness. Don't try to pretend like you know all the Bible. You might even know it, but it's in your head. That's why it's not. Now, when this man was telling me, I was listening. I said, my God, I wish he could just stop sowing in that place. He would get back to where he was before.
Yes.
Just like I had also quoted back. But he refused because somehow he thought a lot of this person. And some people are good. Very good ministers, very good men of God. But when it comes to giving, you have to be very careful with them. Now, we'll talk about the other two in the next messages for next week. I think we've run out of time right now. But I just wanted you to know that those are the two things. The most important thing about sowing is the ground.
Yes.
That's what the Lord taught me.
Yes.
It is not just that you sow. Where do you sow?
Yes.
Now, I will tell you what is characteristics of good ground and what is characteristics of bad ground.
Yes.
So that you can be able to tell and you don't fall into the same pit in which so many people have fallen, including myself, and not limited to myself, because I know so many others who have fallen in the same pit. So we shall discuss that a bit later. I want everybody to get this and go and practice it and see if your life is not going to change.
Yes.
From the beginning, even as your soul prospers.
Yes.
Feed your soul with the word of God.
Yes.
Then now get into things which the Bible says.
Yes.
About all this, the actual sowing of seed. Using these principles.
Yes.
And see if your financial life is not going to change. Now, it doesn't matter. If you want to know that it is going to change, I wish you knew the man I'm talking to you about. This is a man whose work, who used to carry food somewhere in some up country town. There are people who cook food, and there are people who want to eat food in there, in sites or in the
around,
shops, shops and all that. So, and the food is being cooked somewhere, maybe in the market or somewhere. Now, this is the man whose work was to get a big tray and carry orders of food across and go and take it to
and
people.
Deliver.
Like, I'm telling you, this is somebody who was at the very, very bottom of a financial ladder. The man, through sowing in the right place, went up and up, and he would be in all sorts of places. The man even moved from there. The man traveled to abroad.
Yes.
Went abroad to, you know, and he, because he didn't know a word of English.
Yes.
He went with an interpreter. And he was paying his ticket. I'm telling you that God lifts people out of dust. Eh?
Yes.
I'm telling you, somebody when he tells you stories of poverty, you'd even cry. Then he went all the way to paying for an interpreter to take, because he wanted to go somewhere and preach. But now, when he went to, I think in America or somewhere, the interpreter decided to stay there. Now the man had to come back alone. But because he did not know a word of English, they put a signpost on him. They wrote on a big piece of paper that this man is going to Entebbe, Uganda. He doesn't know English. Please help him. So the man would just arrive at the airport and go, and everybody would look at him, would say, "Can I have a look at your ticket?" Then they take him to where he's going to, you know. So that's what I'm telling you.
Yes, yes.
And yet, he came from the bottom. God does not need any raw material.
No.
He just needs obedience.
Yes.
He came from the very bottom to actually get into that flying planes and what. So do not deceive yourself that you're too poor for God to prosper you. There is nobody whom he cannot prosper. I'm talking about somebody whom I know personally.
Yes.
Not a story I heard. Somebody whom I know personally. Anyway, I've really run out of time. So we'll stop here. We'll continue with this next week. In the meantime, have yourselves a wonderful evening. God bless you all.
That was The Watchman. Tune in next week to connect to the anointing upon The Watchman. You can give through the ministry mobile money line, that is +256 780 292 555, or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman Magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.